A service for the Day of Pentecost, May the 24th, 2026. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray. O God, on this day you once taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending them the light of your Holy Spirit. Grant us, in our day, by the same Spirit, to have a right understanding in all things, and evermore to rejoice in his holy consolation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Pentecost reading from Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues, as of fire, appeared to them, and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at the sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, What does this mean? But others, mocking, said, They are filled with new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words, for these men are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even on my male servants and female servants. In those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A sermon entitled, Christianity, Good and True. A key to fraud detection that you might want to use on yourself if you suspect that someone might be scheming to rip you off is to be suspicious should the offer simply seem too good to be true. As they warn, if a deal looks too good to be true, then it probably is. I suspect all of us can think of times when something was oversold to us. However, at the time, it seemed that we had come across the deal of a lifetime. The opportunity was too good to pass by. We made the deal, received what we bought, but then soon realized we were gypped. Therefore, take to heart the expression, buyer beware. Though you were the victim, the fact is that you could have done your due diligence and looked into what you were buying better than what you had. You see, in a way, you allowed yourself to be taken in by the scheme. The deal looked too good to be true, and so it was. However, there are other times when it happens that we do come across a really good deal, and it turns out to be just that. It's not good to be skeptical about everything, because then you might very well miss out on some opportunity that really is awesome. Now, when it comes to religion, what's a person to do? Some have estimated that there are about 10,000 religions in the world. Some say that they are all true, but that's absurd, as many contradict each other. They simply cannot all be true. Now, they could all be false. The reality is that only one can be true. Well, just like you don't want to be the victim of fraud, you and I do well to sort through them before embracing any of them. In so doing, we will put them into either one of two groups. The first group will be filled with belief systems that expect a lot from us, that we have to do many things in order to set ourselves right with the Almighty. The second group will consist in those beliefs that tell us that there's nothing to do but believe. This group will be those that tell us that someone else has done it all for us, so that all we have to do to be right with God is believe in that person. So, let's start sorting. Of course, 10,000 religions are more than any of us can analyze. However, should you take up the task, you would soon find out that 9,999 of them fall into group one. They will speak about laws, rules, and regulations that we have to keep. They will emphasize the performance of countless rituals. They will look scary, overwhelming, and exhausting. They will demand so much from us in exchange for a faint hope that all will work out okay in the end. Now, the reason there are so many, but really all these are the same with different variants, is precisely because they are so hard. They don't look too good to be true. They look very costly and challenging. Our sinful minds default to believing that works are the way. After all, we have to work for what we want. Nothing worthwhile comes easy. Put in the effort, and then hopefully all will turn out well. Surely a religion like that, which demands and expects, must be the real deal. But before we settle for one of the 9,999 possibilities in that first group, let's examine the second group. That's the group that only has one. It is Christianity, first referred to as followers of the way. This is the religion that teaches that someone else has done it all for us, and that we get what he accomplished for us simply by trusting in him. It kind of sounds absurd. Perhaps a scam that can be ruled out, for it seems too good to be true. Now, just how does it go? Well, on this Pentecost Sunday, we need look no further than the events of Pentecost to find out, for the disciples preached about it. They happened to be speaking to a Jewish audience who were present in Jerusalem from various parts of the world. And a great sign accompanied this preaching, for in a miraculous way the Holy Spirit made it happen that all could understand what was being spoken in their own native language. Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. They said to one another, "We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." Some thought they were drunk. Others, however, were amazed and perplexed. They wanted an explanation as to how the confusion of language had disappeared. What did they have to say about it? Peter, standing among the others, lifted up his voice and addressed them, letting them know that they were not drunk. Instead, this had been predicted by the prophet Joel. "And in the last days it shall be," God declares, "that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." How could salvation be that easy? Peter explains how. Jesus was delivered up, crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. However, God raised him up, loosening the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Yes, Jesus died with the penalty of mankind's sins upon himself, for he did for us what we could never do for ourselves. He lived the perfect life, and he offered that life in our stead and place when they crucified him. And the way we know it to be true is Jesus rising again from the dead. This too fulfilled Scripture. For example, when David had predicted that God would not let his Holy One see corruption, This proves that David foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades. Indeed, Christianity is unique in that God came to us in the person of Christ and did for us what we were unable to do for ourselves, that we might be saved. So how do we get in on it? Those convicted of their sin by the Holy Spirit on Pentecost for their collective part in having Jesus crucified asked Peter what they should do. And what puts Christianity solely in the second group is that Peter did not tell them to do anything. He simply answered, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." It's as though it's too good to be true. And it wouldn't be true had there been no resurrection, to which Peter and the others were eyewitnesses. There was no advantage to them lying about that, for this message was going to bring them martyrdom. Besides, it would have been an impossible conspiracy to pull off, easily debunked by simply producing the decomposing body. Now you might say, be that as it is, this is so hard to believe. And besides, what about all the other religions? These all say, do this, that which can never be done. However, on the other hand, Christianity says, it is done, and all is completed by Jesus. And besides all that, the Holy Spirit accompanies the preaching of Christ, empowering us to believe and to receive forgiveness of sins. And that's what happened on Pentecost. It's a day that is considered the birthday of the church. The account records that those who received Peter's words were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Christianity sounds as though it is too good to be true. Buyer beware. Realize that 9,999 other religions are a fraud. This one alone is true. It alone claims that Jesus did it all for us. He paid the penalty for our sins by his death on the cross. No, it is true by his resurrection in fulfillment of the scriptures and by the Holy Spirit sent at Pentecost, who empowers us to believe through the gospel. You really have little to lose. Instead, you have everything to gain. The disciples were not drunk, nor were they schemers. They were simply God's chosen ones, appointed by the Almighty to tell us the true and only way to salvation through faith in Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.